Is It Wrong to Ask for a Sign? By Nathaniel Burson. Well, what does God say about it? Most men say it's tempting God to ask for a sign, but then most men think they're going to float on a cloud playing a harp for eternity. So what is tempting God, and is it wrong to ask him for a sign? Mark 8, verses 11 and 12. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. What was wrong with them asking for a sign? When the Pharisees asked for a sign, it was called tempting God. But what about Gideon? Remember the fleece that was to be wet, then dry? Gideon required several signs to believe, so why wasn't he condemned for tempting God? Or what about Abraham? Even though God made promises to him in Genesis 15, Abraham wanted more proof. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Genesis 15, verse 8. So why were the Pharisees condemned, when Gideon and Abraham and countless others weren't? Is God a respecter of persons after all? What is the difference? Matthew 11, verses 21 and 22. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. The Pharisees were among those he was condemning in the scripture. These are the people he said were tempting him. He condemned them for tempting God because they had already seen hundreds of signs. They had seen all they could possibly need to believe, but would not believe. That was tempting God. Abraham didn't do that. Gideon didn't do that. Once they had seen reasonable proof, they believed. But the Pharisees in ancient Israel, the two groups who are condemned for tempting God more than any other, would not believe, no matter what proof they had. Hebrews 3, verses 8 through 12. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 4, verse 2. For unto us was this gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. When the Israelites, after having seen the 10 plagues in Egypt, after having crossed the Red Sea, after seeing Pharaoh drowned, while they were eating bread falling out of the sky, when they said, Is the Lord among us or not? Exodus 17, 7. It was tempting God. They didn't need any more proof that God was among them. Matthew 4, verse 5. Then the devil takes him up to the holy city, and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple, and says unto him, If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So why would it have been tempting God for Christ to jump? Because both he and the devil knew full well that he was the Son of God. Neither one of them needed any more proof. Christ would have been tempting God to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, because he knew God would keep his word and protect him if he tripped over a rock. So did the devil. It would have been tempting God for either of them to demand a sign to prove it. And since it is a sin to tempt God, had Christ jumped to prove God one more time, he would have died on the rocks below. So what's the difference between asking a sign from God and tempting him? You must be the judge of that. You know exactly how much proof of God's existence you have seen. You know how many miracles, unarguable miracles, you have seen. And you and only you know whether or not you're being stubborn because you don't want to believe. You must ultimately make the decision of whether or not it is a sin for you to ask for a sign. But considering the spiritual Sahara we find ourselves in today, I doubt that God would mind showing you some proof, if you're willing to go out of your way to get his attention. And all of this, of course, assumes that you are already in the process of cleaning up your camp, as Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 14 instructs, and as I write about so often. If you are living in a state of open rebellion and trying to force God to accept you on your terms, then attracting his attention to you is definitely a bad idea. But that disclaimer aside, by all means, prove God. Test him. See if he is willing to stand behind the promises he made to you. If not, now is the time to find out. And if so, why would you want to go another minute without proving it? For more articles, please visit www.thesimpleanswers.com. You may send any questions, comments, complaints, or suggestions to us at questions@thesimpleanswers.com. Thank you for listening.